morning, and welcome to Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning, Pastor Greg Barr starts a new sermon series. It's called United. His message, United in Love. Now from St. Matthew's Baptist Church, here's the praise team and band with All to Us.
Precious cornerstone, sure foundation, you are faithful to the end. We are waiting on you, Jesus. We believe you're on to us. Let the glory of your name be the passion of this church. Let the righteousness of God be a holy thing that blesses. Let the saving love of Christ be the measure of our lives. We believe you're all to us. Holy Son of God, sent from
this morning's message, United in Love, here's Pastor Greg Barr.
Well, last weekend, I was able to spend a little bit of time with Dr. Paul Fittis from Oxford University. Dr. Fittis, he's such an interesting man. He looks like you would expect an Oxford professor to look, and he sounds like you'd expect one to sound. He's passionate about enthusiasm about study theology. And about the relationship, the unique relationship between Oxford and Georgetown College. And he was excited to talk about something new that they were working on at Oxford in the area of love and religion. He said this is the first time, I believe, that as far as he could tell, that a university had established a position to do research in the area of love and religion. Dr. Fittis was motivated by the words of Jesus in Matthew 22 when he sought to answer the question, what is the most important of all the commandments? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And so Dr. Fittis' desire is to bring together scholars from different religious traditions to come together and to seek to discover, is love, human and divine, the ultimate reality of life? And perhaps Dr. Fittis is onto something. Could it be that you and I were made to receive God's love and to return it, and then to love other people as we have been loved? Could this be the purpose of our lives? After all, Jesus seemed to talk a whole lot about love and demonstrate that for us. Jesus would tell people such strange things from time to time, things like, you don't just love the people who are like you. You don't just love people who do good stuff for you. Instead, Jesus said weird stuff like, love your enemies and do good to people who don't do good to you, who mean evil things toward you. Pray for them. Well, I'm beginning this new series of messages entitled Unity, or United. Can we live in unity in 2017? Because if you get online, or if you turn on the television or pick up a newspaper or magazine, you may have some doubt about that. We seem to be a nation that's so divided, Republicans and Democrats, red states and blue, Tea Partiers and union organizers, Muslims and Christians, fundamentalist evangelical Christians and more progressive liberal Christians. We're male and female, gay and straight, right wing and left wing, birthers and truthers. Is there any hope for people like us? But while we tend to look at our world, I think, in our nation, as being somehow especially divided during this period of time, I think, truthfully, if we look back through our history, we could find plenty of eras that were plenty divisive. You could look at the Vietnam era of the 60s and 70s, the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s, the fundamentalist modernist controversy and the Scopes trial that took place in the 1920s, even back to the beginning of the 20th century and the women's suffrage movement. It would be hard to argue that this period of time is more divisive than the events that led up to the Civil War, where a nation truly was on the verge of tearing apart. You can even go back and look at the divisions and the disagreements between the colonies before the Revolutionary War, and you could possibly argue that the only reason they came together was to be united against the common enemy, the British. And we could go farther back through history. We could look at conflict after conflict, era after era, and find divisiveness and disagreement. We could even go back to the very beginnings of this book and find that we were only a generation into the story of humanity when one brother decides he hates his other brother enough to kill him. Unity. It's been a long hoped for goal, but all too seldom realized in our world. But what if love really is the answer? Not just in some flowery sentiment, but what if love is the answer to unite people in our world? In the Old Testament, as God was seeking to develop for himself a people, God established a covenant with the descendants of Abraham. He gave them 10 commandments that were to guide their lives. And look, we sometimes look at the 10 commandments as these grand, lofty goals, but in truth, the 10 commandments are simply the baseline of what it means to be human, aren't they? Don't steal. Don't kill. Tell the truth. Don't covet what your neighbor has. Be sexually faithful. I mean, the Ten Commandments really describe how to live a life that honors God and that respects both self and neighbor. And then Jesus came along in the New Testament, and Jesus gives us our best look yet at who God is and how God acts and what God values most. And Jesus came to establish a new covenant with God's people. And he could have established a whole new set of 10 commandments that were to guide our thinking. But instead, Jesus adds only one to the list. And you might be thinking, well, if Jesus just added one new commandment, then it must be pretty important, right? No, you are right about that. In John 13, 34, we read, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another." So when Jesus was asked, what's the most important of all the Old Testament laws? He could have picked any of the 600 plus laws that are found in the Old Testament. But instead, he said, you want to know which is most important? Love. Love God. Love other people. This has been the entire purpose, Jesus said, of the law and the prophets, the scripture. This is what the scripture has been pointing toward, to cause us to be a people who loved God and who loved people. And then when Jesus established a new commandment to give to his followers, what was it? Love. Love other people the way that I've loved you. Well, maybe Jesus really did think that, that love was the ultimate reality of life. The human and divine love. This is the ultimate reality. Well, in our day, we might think of love as just some lofty goal, a dream. What does it look like lived out, though? To help us with that, let's look at Paul's words in the letter that he wrote to the church at Rome. We'll go to the 15th chapter of that book, and we begin that 15th chapter with these words. "So those of us who have a strong faith must be patient with the weaknesses of those whose faith is not so strong. We must not think only of ourselves. We should all be concerned about our neighbor and the good things that will build his faith. Christ did not think only of himself, but rather, as Scripture says, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me." Well, Paul says that those of us who are strong should act gently and respectfully toward those who are weaker. Is that the way of the world? Is that how the world operates? No. In the world, you discover somebody's weaknesses and you exploit them. Right, if you're going to watch the Super Bowl, maybe you're joining David in watching the Super Bowl tonight. Do you think, David, if the Falcons find a weakness on the Patriots' defense, that they'll act gently and respectfully toward it? Absolutely not. What did he say? I hope not. Hope not. Yeah, I get that. Right? They plan to exploit every week. In fact, they've been watching film. They've been talking to other teams. They've been looking for every weakness that they can exploit. And if they find a weakness, they don't plan to be patient with the weak. They plan to grind the weak into the ground. And this is the way of our world. This is the way business operates. This is the way politics operates in the political realm. The majority party doesn't show deference to the minority unless they need them for something. Otherwise, the way is, we won and you lost, deal with it. We're going to do what we want to do. And this may be the pattern of the world, but it's not the way of those who've been transformed by the love of Christ. It's not how people who have been loved by God should operate, not in business, not in families, not in church, not in politics either. We're not to dominate the weak, but to look out for them. And the message of the world may be to think of yourself first, but the teaching of Scripture is to put the needs of others ahead of your own. To care for people, even if they don't care much for you. And I get what you might be thinking. This kind of stuff doesn't work in the real world. I mean, it might be okay in preacher world out there wherever the preacher lives, but it won't work in the real world. If I try to show patience toward the weakness of others, to live by this ideal of love, I get crushed. People will walk all over me, and maybe they will. But on the other hand, maybe the problem is not that this won't work in our world, but it really hasn't been tried very often. To live by the standard, by the ethic of love. Even in Christian circles, the message seems to be that if you want to change things, grab power. Because power is what works in our world. Imitate the ways of the world. But this isn't the way of Christ. Paul even wrote that Jesus did not think only of himself, but instead he took our insults upon himself. He bore our burdens. He gave himself away, and having done that, then Jesus calls us to imitate him, to love as he loved us. Our vision as a church is to be a vibrant faith community, demonstrating the love of Christ, becoming vital to the life and the hope of the city. And the way that we plan to live into that, to become vital to the life and the hope of the city, is by demonstrating the love of Christ, not by demanding things, but demonstrating the love of Christ, giving ourselves away. We will gain ground by serving the community, not by demanding what we want from it. And so the stands that we take should not be about preserving our own perceived rights, but instead we should stand for the sake of the weak. The power that we exert should be on behalf of the powerless, not the powerful. This is what Paul's talking about. And it's the way of Christ, who came into the world not to demand his rights or to protect his rights. In fact, in the book of Philippians, it tells us that he gave up his rights, that he laid down everything that he was entitled to. And he gave it all up for us. He gave up his rights. He gave up his life for our sake, for the sake of the weak, people like us who couldn't find our way in the world, for you and for me. And then he calls us to follow his example. Paul goes on to write these words to the church at Rome. May God, who gives you this endurance and encouragement, allow you to live in harmony with each other by following the example of Christ Jesus. Then, having the same goal, you will praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other in the same way that Christ accepted you. He did this to bring glory to God. Paul says that we follow the example of Christ. And when we do that, we will become a family of faith instead of a congregation that functions. Let me see if I can illustrate the difference, because my guess is that you understand it and you've seen it. Maybe you've been to a church somewhere and the architecture's impressive. People are beautifully dressed. The worship service is flawless. Everything goes along as it should, but still you get the sense that something's not quite right there. Right? You get the feeling that these people don't care that much about each other, and they don't care that much for you either. And so even though they did everything that churches are supposed to do, it seemed, they went through all of those right motions, that something was just wrong. On the other hand, maybe you've been to a place that wasn't quite as nice. The building may have been showing its age. There were gaps in the service. The preaching wasn't as polished. And yet you found something significant there. You felt in that place like there were people who loved each other. That these people were family to each other, and they had this genuine desire that you join their family, that you become part of their family, and there would be a place for you there. And I'm guessing you'd want to go back. Well, the difference between those places didn't come about because of a plan, and it didn't happen because of a process. The difference is what Paul's talking about in the book of Romans, that there was a sense of unity there, that there was a sense of love and acceptance, a feeling of harmony, the warmth of a family. And we live into our vision by being that kind of place, by being a place where people can find God's love and be loved for who they are and what they are, where they are in our world. It's what people are looking for, I believe, in this generation, whether they claim to be seeking God or not, whether they have any desire to search for God or not, everybody's looking for a place to belong. Everybody's looking for community. They're looking for people to connect with who will make them feel special. They're looking for a safe place to be themselves, a place where they won't be made fun of or looked down upon, a place where people care for one another and will make room for them as well. A people who will put the needs of others and the concerns of others even above their own. And a church that falls short of this will fail to reach up to their kingdom potential, not because they don't do things professionally, not because things aren't done in an orderly fashion, but because they've lost sight of the very first thing that it's called for in Christian fellowship: unity, love, harmony. And if we don't have that, if we don't demonstrate the love of Christ in the way we treat each other and in the way we treat outsiders, then all of the stuff we're about to do on this building is going to be for nothing except for us. As Ron Oliver often reminds me, the building can attract people, but it cannot connect with them. It cannot keep them. That's our job. That's what we do. And we do it best as a family of faith. We do it best as people who love one another and who love the world. The concern of the family of faith is unity. It's not uniformity. We don't have to all be alike. We don't have to all think alike, or as Tim talked about, vote alike or watch the same news channels to be family. And thank goodness we don't have to. I mean, it's obvious that we aren't alike. One look at social media can tell you that. We have a very diverse congregation. We think differently than one another, and there's something great about that. Because even folks who don't agree on a lot of things can be family as we find unity through Christ. Unity doesn't mean that we have to accept every behavior, every response, but it does mean that we have to accept people, because people matter to God. Is there hope for a divided world? I think so. I choose to believe it because Jesus came to demonstrate what love looked like, lived out in our world. It was so confounding that the people who thought they had it all figured out rejected him. And the people who thought they had nothing figured out were drawn to him. Because in Christ, they saw what love looked like. And while he was here, he kicked off a movement. He began a movement that changed culture, not because it seized political power, but because the power of love was greater than the power of hate in the world, than even the power of politics. It was because there was this little group of people who took seriously this new commandment Jesus gave when he said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." And folks, what happened then can happen again. What God was able to do with an imperfect and uncertain group of people 2,000 years ago, God could still do through an imperfect and uncertain group of people like us. So why don't we try it? To be united as a family. Those of us who have been transformed by God's love seek to share that love with one another and with the world around us. By God's power, the transforming grace of God experienced in our lives, let us be united in love. Would you pray with me? God, we are drawn together. Not because we all think about the same stuff or cheer for the same teams. We're drawn together by your love. We look at the life of Jesus. We looked at those whose lives were transformed by being in his presence. We think how amazing it is that this ragtag group of folks with so little education and no power could change the world. And it happened because of your Spirit working in and through them. But as people looked at them, they marveled, the scripture says, at how they loved each other. It was just so different to see what the power of love could do to unite people who were Jews and Gentiles, slave and free, male and female, who had nothing that should bring them together except the love of Christ. Help us to experience deeply your love and grace, and then help us share it with a world that's desperate for it. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
To Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning, you may have reached a decision concerning your personal relationship with God, or you may want to find spiritual guidance for your life. Contact us this week at 502-896-8882 or online at smbclouisville.org. St. Matthew's Baptist Church is conveniently located between Breckenridge and Cannons Lanes at 3515 Grandview Avenue. Join us for worship in person this morning. Bible study for all ages starts at 9:15 and worship in the sanctuary at 10:30. If that's not possible, then join us here next week at 7 for Experiencing God's Love from St. Matthew's Baptist Church, where we're loving and leading people into a growing relationship with God.